When I close my eyes, I see you. No matter where I am, I can smell your perfume through these whispering pines. I'm with your ghost again. It's a shame about the weather, but I know soon we'll be together. And I can't wait till then. I can't wait till then.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews in Southern California battling the mountain fire that's destroyed more than 80 homes in Ventura County. Officials say it is 0% contained and red flag warnings are in place. Offshore Santa Ana winds could gust up to 35 miles per hour this afternoon. President Biden assuring Americans that the electoral process works and is transparent, saying his administration accepts the victory of Donald Trump and his administration will work to make sure there's a peaceful transfer of power. Here's ABC's Karen Travers.
The president was trying to make a point there that this is going to be very different than what we saw 4 years ago and how the Trump team did not make it easy for the Biden-Harris team to come into the White House. He is certainly going to great lengths there in that speech to say that they're going to do it differently.
President-elect Trump and his team working on staffing his second term and his agenda at his Florida estate. Republicans also gained control of the Senate. More than 30 House races still undecided. This is ABC News. Law enforcement agents and mental health experts looking for solutions to a series of apparently unrelated murder-suicides in Santa Rosa County in the Florida Panhandle.
On Tuesday morning, a man killed his girlfriend as she was calling police and then killed himself. That evening, a few miles away, a man murdered his own parents before taking his own life. Autumn McAllister specializes in domestic violence.
There's always this tendency to think, okay, well, hopefully this will just kind of sort itself out.
Meanwhile, Sheriff Bob Johnson is investigating 9 murder-suicide deaths going back to mid-June.
We have no rhyme or reason. It's horrible, I can tell you that.
Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Canada is cracking down on TikTok, ordering the company to shut down its business in the country, citing national security risks. The company's Chinese owner, ByteDance, must end its activities, but the app itself is not banned. In April, President Biden signed a law giving ByteDance until January to find a non-Chinese buyer. Michelle Franz in ABC News.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. When sending a package, why venture outside? Ship with USPS for a true holiday ride. Want to stay cozy and warm? There's no need to roam. With free package pickup and labels printed from home, we have over 600,000 employees always in motion. And before you know it, your gift has delivered emotion. Spread the holiday joy this season with USPS's enhanced network. Learn more at usps.com/holidayride.
This is a story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Ahlen. Multinational brewer Molson Coors will close the Leinenkugel's brewery in Chippewa Falls.
The move will end more than 150 years of brewing in the northwestern Wisconsin city where Leine's was born. Molson Coors will close the Chippewa Falls brewery and Leinenkugel's 10th Street brewery in Milwaukee effective January 17th, according to a company statement. Molson Coors Chief Supply Chain Officer Brian Earhart said the closures are part of a plan to consolidate operations at the main Milwaukee brewery. More than 50 workers are expected to lose jobs in Chippewa Falls. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Rural high-speed internet expansion is getting a boost in Wisconsin, courtesy of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Rural Development Wisconsin State Director Julie Lassa says parts of the state are still in need of expansion.
We know that high-speed internet is important when students need to connect in order to get educational opportunities. People can access their medical care now over the internet. And for businesses, it really expands their opportunity to market their product and services.
The state will get about $8.6 million to go toward projects in Barron, Burnett, and Washburn counties. A Sparta man faces homicide charges in connection with the drunk driving crash that killed a construction worker last week. 25-year-old Isaac Morales Jr. is accused of crashing into a piece of construction equipment after losing control of his car near Oakdale on November 1st. That crash killed the 35-year-old operator. Morales now faces charges of reckless homicide, first-time OWI, and various reckless driving felonies. He's being held in Monroe County on a $250,000 cash bond. We'll be back in court in December. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlau. A happy high-pressure system settles in today, clearing those clouds and allowing the sun to shine bright. High temperatures will reach the low 50s today with a southwest breeze. Then tonight, we fall crisp to near freezing. And for tomorrow, a warm-up. Under abundant sunshine, we reach the mid-50s. Alexandria, Minnesota. Great for winter getaways and holiday fun. Explore alex.com. Right now, 47 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Duran Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
Reserve is wrapping up a meeting today, and there are expectations of a rate cut. We'll talk about the what then with President Trump preparing his move back into the White House. And we'll talk about energies and financial aid and the farm bill. We've got it all on the agenda.
Live, we are over the hump via Farm Journal broadcast, and this is AgriTalk. This morning, we begin with a conversation with Bob Elliott from Unlimited Fund. Then it's John Newton and Matt Clark from Terrain. Later, Jordan Fife from BioUrja. And directly following the news, Neville Spear from Drovers. I'm a handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. Now, say hello to your beloved host, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. I'm just going to ease into this. I'm just going to ease into
this. Did your attention wane there for a second?
No.
I feel like...
No.
Okay.
I caught everything. I've just decided that I'm going to stay calm here at the start of the show because we have got a lot of ground that we want to cover. We've got a lot of issues that we want to get to. This is a jam-packed, okay, now what kind of show. And
I got
I think it's best if I just stay calm.
Okay. Well, here, let's help you. This just in. From NBC News, police hunt 40 monkeys that escaped from a South Carolina research facility. Authorities advise anyone who finds a monkey should not interact with it, but instead call 911. This, according to local authorities.
What was the name of the movie with Dustin Hoffman? Outbreak.
No.
Did Outbreak just happen?
Oh, no, don't say that. We were going to stay calm, Chip. We were going to stay calm.
Yeah, but now I want to South Carolina and help.
Wasn't there a movie with Brad Pitt called 12 Monkeys?
Was it 12 Monkeys?
Yep. This is like the sequel.
Yeah, but this is like at least three times as worse because this is 40.
Well, inflation. You know,
inflation.
12 Monkeys, you know, used to get you with 40 monkeys. Yeah, 40 monkeys would get you that today.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad that we've got that out of the way. Look at that. Look at that. 40 monkeys have escaped from a research facility, South Carolina.
Yeah. We're here to inform. That's what we do.
I'll be darned. You know what? I think I'd rather talk about the weather. What do you got?
Well, the National Weather Service expects heavy snow to impact portions of Colorado and New Mexico, while heavy rain, severe weather, as well as increasingly windy conditions will sweep across the southern plains through the next few days. A heavy rain threat over the southeast is expected to gradually diminish by this evening. Hurricane Rafael forecast to track more westwardly away from the Florida Keys and into the Gulf of Mexico through the next couple days. Record warmth continues in the mid-Atlantic down into the southeast and along the Gulf Coast. They're announcing that the hurricane is forecast to track into the Gulf of Mexico and away from the Florida Keys. That's great news for the Florida Keys, but where's it going to go?
Well, it's weakening. And okay. The last forecast that I looked at, I don't even remember who it was from, was that it is going to weaken to a tropical storm and have about 40-mile-an-hour winds by the time it makes landfall Mexico, southern Texas.
All right. Well, Chip, USDA reported daily sales of 120,000 metric tons of corn for delivery to unknown destinations during the 24-25 marketing year.
Yeah, that corn demand just keeps rolling along.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Yep. Big gains scored in all three major U.S. stock indices in the wake of former President Donald Trump prevailing in the Tuesday elections. And all three struck new record finishes, with the blue chip index registering its largest post-election gain, get this, since 1896, Chip.
Man, oh man, NASDAQ is sharply higher again this morning. The Dow is just slightly lower, and the S&P up, what is that, 31 points, 32 points? Yep. So consolidating in the S&P and the Dow, but boy, the NASDAQ is off and running again.
Yep. Well, the GOP made significant gains in the Senate. Republicans won at least 53 states, exceeding expectations. In the House, Republicans maintained narrow control with about 15 races still uncertain, particularly in California and Arizona. Yeah.
Narrow enough that I don't know if I want to call that. In the House. So, and on the Senate side, what does it mean for the farm bill? We'll talk to John Newton about that this morning.
Well, President-elect Trump secured 63% of the rural vote, surpassing his 2016 performance, and is set to work with farm groups and Congress on overdue agricultural policies. Key issues include, of course, passing a new farm bill, mitigating high costs, averting tax hikes, and addressing labor shortages.
All on the priority list and should be.
Yep. And a couple of quick hits here on other election items. Voters rejected ballot measure 309, which aimed to ban slaughterhouses in the city and county of Denver, Colorado. And this one, by a nearly 6-1 margin, voters in California's Sonoma County defeated an effort to limit the size of livestock farms and phase out operations that exceeded those limits.
Yeah, and in South Dakota, they made it tougher for Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline, is how I understand it. I still need to look a little deeper and figure out exactly what Summit's plans might be after this.
Yep. Well, the Fed is expected to cut interest rates 25 basis points following the conclusion of its two-day monetary policy meeting at 1 p.m. Central Time. But the path of future rate cuts is uncertain after Donald Trump's return to the presidency. And finally, Chip, Beyond Meat lowered its annual revenue forecast. The company attributed the cut to reduced consumer spending on more expensive plant-based products as shoppers opt for cheaper alternatives. Quarterly sales volumes dropped by 7.1% compared to a 3.5% increase in the same period last year. Chip.
Cheaper alternatives, right. Opt for cheaper People alternatives. Want food. What they're doing is opting for quality is what here, they're here. Doing. Speaking of that, let's bring him in right now. Neville Spear, contributing editor there at Drovers. How you doing, Neville?
I'm doing great, Chip. How are you?
Okay, good, good, good. Help me understand what's happening in this beef market. It seems like we are experiencing a true increase in demand.
Yeah, and I'm just going to say, here, right? Quality, as you're talking about, Beyond Meat. And, Chip, you left me last week as we closed out, and you need to coin this or trademark it, right? You said quality creates comeback customers. It's a fantastic phrase, right? So I just decided when we got done, I'm going to go look at the data. Through October, we're running almost 11% prime. Okay. That's up 10% it's up 7% versus 10 years ago. Premium choice, upper two-thirds choice, we're running 33% for the year. That's up 8%. So, combined, a premium product, we're up 15% versus 10 years ago. Select, we're running less than 13% through October. It's the first time ever we've fallen below 13, and we're down sharply where we were, right? We are very clearly moving the quality grade pendulum to the upper end. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so what does that mean for us going forward here, Neville? It seems like really good news.
Yeah, it's great news, right? And you know, we're not even to the best grading cattle yet. We've still got another month or so to go. But it's ultimately in that this whole conversation that we've had in the last couple of weeks about carcass weights, stronger markets, what's driving all of that? It's to your point, as we closed out last week, better quality. It drives consumer demand, and it makes all the difference, right? Come back, customers.
Come back, customers. Quality tends to make it recession-proof.
Absolutely.
And we're seeing that right now. Man, through this whole conversation, I've been thinking about, hey, I heard it a million years ago from Dr. Wayne Purcell, Virginia Tech, a true increase in beef demand is selling more at a higher price. Not selling the same amount at a higher price, selling more at a higher price. We need
you
to
get
it there.
All right.
Thank you, Neville.
If you're applying a low-rate nitrogen stabilizer, you might be falling for a losing strategy. Low-rate products promise great results, but may lack the potency of higher active ingredient concentrations. So great isn't always what you get. Instead of putting your yield at risk, put your trust in Anvil Nitrogen Stabilizer and Super U Premium Fertilizer from Koch Agronomic Services. Both offer higher active ingredient concentrations imitator brands can't match. See the difference at defendyourn.com.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
No doubt you've heard of MetLife, but did you know that MetLife Investment Management has over 100 years of ag lending experience? The MetLife Investment Management team maintains close relationships with its borrowers and can structure a customized loan with flexible terms to meet your financial needs. Looking to expand, refinance, or recapitalize? Consider MetLife Investment Management. Learn more at MetLife.com/ag.
Protecting your nitrogen is smart. And a nitrogen granule with a polymer coating that releases in response to conditions that promote plant growth? Well, that's me. I'm the environmentally smart nitrogen granule that gives the nutrition crops need when they need it, reducing nitrogen loss and increasing nutrient availability. Imagine feeding me to your fields. Me. Now, wait a minute.
Hey, can I rethink this?
ESN Environmentally Smart Nitrogen Fertilizer. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.
The next.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sunstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sunstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sunstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sunstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN. Don't risk your nitrogen investment. ESN is designed to beat the five ROI killers and provide season-long end to your crop. Learn how ESN works at smartnitrogen.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. It is a Fed day. And, man, I love getting this guy on around these kinds of occasions, around these headline events, so that we can try to figure out exactly what it means, drill through the BS at the top, and really figure out what it means. We've got Bob Elliott, Chief Investment Officer at Unlimited Fund, with us right now. Bob, it is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Great to hear from you, Chip. Happy to be here. Pretty lively couple of days here in the financial markets.
Okay, so let's start right there. What did you make of the Trump trade yesterday? And start with the equities. Was it a one day wonder, or is there more where that came from?
Well, I think a lot of folks in the financial markets are penciling out a pretty pro-growth agenda coming from the Trump administration, and in particular able to execute that effectively, given that they're very likely to control both houses of Congress. And so I think we're just starting to get people's heads around what the composition of that'll be, but the direction in terms of that pro-growth agenda looks pretty clear. And so this might be, well, just the beginning of that starting to get priced into the markets.
Yeah. Man, Bob, I'm telling you, if Republicans do hold on to that, even the slightest of a majority in the House, which it looks like they're going to, Trump, as you just mentioned, he has made so many pro-growth promises, tax cut promises. His supporters are going to, if he's got the Senate and the House, his supporters are going to expect to see this move from theory to reality in a short period of time. Can he deliver?
Well, I think a lot of the things that are probably most immediately influential are on the regulatory side, where the executive actually has a lot of flexibility to be able to execute regulatory relief across a wide range of sectors. You know, there's a reason why, if you look at either energy or the banking system, we saw relatively sharp rallies yesterday in those sectors. It's because, you know, with the stroke of a pen, a lot of the regulatory challenges that both of those sectors face from the current administration can be, you know, wiped away or reduced. And if the banking system can heat up in terms of its activity, or, you know, the broad energy sector, you know, gets to work on increasing production, those are two areas that almost immediately can have an influence.
Right. Okay. All right. Why did the dollar react so aggressively with the big rally yesterday?
Most of the dynamic in the dollar is related to U.S. interest rates, as well as a bit on U.S. growth. You know, if you look at the U.S. relative to the rest of the world, the U.S. has higher interest rates, stronger growth, stronger equity markets, better earnings growth. And so you put that all together, a pro-growth agenda that we're likely to see only should only further add fuel to those elements that have caused, you know, U.S. exceptionalism relative to the rest of the developed world. And so we're seeing that, you know, play out in the dollar crosses.
Okay. You know, well, you know what? I want one more market reaction before we generalize here a bit. Energy markets. Why didn't the energy markets react more aggressively?
Well, I think it's a bit of a challenge because for the energy markets, because while they're are positive growth elements of the administration's policies, there's also a pro-production element of the policies as well. And those two things are somewhat offsetting each other when you think about the cost of the commodity. You know, it's different for the companies. The companies are in better shape, and that's why they rallied so aggressively. But the commodity itself, it's kind of a neutral set of factors that are coming out.
Yeah. Okay. I get it. And you know, the other thing is on the inflationary front, Trump has said we're gonna work on grocery prices. We're gonna work on the prices of goods and services by making it cheaper to produce them, by making it cheaper to transport them, with lower energy prices going forward. Does that scare the oil companies at all when they hear something like that?
I mean, most oil companies are essentially taking a vig on the production, meaning taking, you know, a margin on the production. They are somewhat incentivized by higher prices, but it's not the primary driver of profitability. Right. And so I think, as honestly, the regulatory relief on their ability to on their day-to-day activities is a lot bigger deal than even marginal moves in oil prices.
Okay. All right. How does the market react if Elon Musk does find a spot in the administration and does make a promise to cut $2 trillion from spending, Bob? That seems like such a huge whack.
Yeah, I think that sort of falls into this category of things where campaign rhetoric might not be actual reality when it comes to implemented policy. The idea of cutting $2 trillion out of the budget on an annual basis is implausible, given that discretionary spending is only $1.7 trillion and half of that is military spending, which isn't going to get cut. And so I think the general idea of a move towards less wasteful government, sure, I think, you know, that I can believe that will be an influence on the administration's actions, but, you know, it's probably off by an order of magnitude or two.
Okay. Give me 20 seconds on this. Does the tariff threat fit into that category too? You know, campaign rhetoric?
Yeah, I think in many ways, the tariffs are more likely to be a bargaining chip than, you know, a wholesale executed policy at the stroke of a pen. And so we'll learn a lot over the course of the next couple of months and beyond about exactly where they're going to implement those. But I wouldn't assume that the talked about, you know, 10% on all imports and 60% on China, that day one that's going to happen. It could easily be the sort of thing that's threatened and not executed in order to extract concessions.
Okay, excellent. What does the Fed do today, Bob?
Well, the Fed's cutting, and part of the story here is that the Fed can't start making decisions based upon prospective administration policy until those policies happen. And so if they're just looking at the macroeconomic story, they believe inflation is beat. You can argue with that, but that's what they believe. And therefore, cuts are coming regardless of the electoral outcome. And given that it's going to take, you know, into next year before the new administration's policies really influence the macro economy, we're kind of in this interesting point where we're going to get a pretty good Fed easing over the course of the next 6 months and then followed up by a pretty good fiscal support in the 6 to 12 months after that.
Okay. So, Bob, since the Fed cut rates last, Treasury yields have gone up. Should we expect even higher interest rates after this Fed funds cut?
Yeah, I think the rise in interest rates that we've seen in the last 6 weeks or so is really just reflective of the fact that the U.S. economy is pretty strong, and that there were some concerns that we might have been slipping to recession, and that caused a lot of flow into bonds. And those concerns have been a bit alleviated in this last, with data releases that we've been seeing. And so, you know, I think we're that sort of repricing back to roughly where we've been over the last couple of years is sort of a normal repricing. We're probably not going to see a significant move higher, particularly given the fact that the Fed is pretty clearly has an easing bias for the next 6 months.
Okay, easing bias for the next 6 months. President-elect Trump has said more than once that he would like to have more influence over interest rates going forward. Good idea to you?
Well, there's really a value in the credibility that exists with an independent Fed, and there is, I guess what I'd say, is some risk that credibility gets called into question if there's meaningful influence from the president. But again, this is sort of the campaign rhetoric might not be the ultimate reality. And so I wouldn't necessarily extrapolate from those comments that President Trump is going to be at the Fed, you know, making the policy decision anytime soon.
Gotcha. Bob, thank you so much for the time, man. I appreciate it. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. Always great to catch up.
Excellent. Bob Elliott, Chief Investment Officer, Unlimited Funds. We are talking to John Newton and Matt Clark from Terrain Ag next.
Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bred to defy expectations. So it's no surprise they're getting rave reviews, and that has more than farmers talking. In fact, a grain elevator wrote, "Sweet mother of pearl, trailer after trailer of Z-Series. It's never ending. We need a break." Safe to say, everyone is feeling the impact of Z-Series soybeans. Unleash your greatest harvest yet at pioneer.com/newera.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find The Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Milk markets are higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, November and December both up 10 cents. November 2004, December 1912. January up 11 to 1924. February up 5 at 1922. Meanwhile, live cattle markets are mostly higher. Feeder cattle also mostly higher. A lot of this is somewhat residual from the jump in the Dow Jones yesterday. That's pushing a strong supportive nature through the market. There's still some support in the countryside too. Meanwhile, hog markets, they are moving mostly mixed today. Now, the export sales report did highlight a marketing year low for the market, and morning carcass prices were a dollar lower. That's still providing some pressure to the market. December live cattle up 25 cents to 185.65. November feeder cattle down 17 cents to 247.52. December hogs down 90 cents to 81.22. Chicago Board of Trade, corn markets are relatively flat today. They're edging back from the fresh highs that were touched overnight. Soybean futures moving mostly higher. Some positive export inspection news for corn and beans providing some underlying support. Wheat markets mostly lowered today as well. Good rain in the plains, which will help with emergence, is pressuring the market. New crop 25 corn down 1 3/4 to 444. New crop 25 beans up 5 1/4 to 1037 1/4. December wheat down 3 3/4.
At Jerry Barron Sons, your Golden Harvest seed dealer, their best skill is knowing how to listen. Because once they understand your operation and goals, they can offer the right products to perform in your fields. From the Gold Series soybean and Game Changer changing corn portfolios to expert insights, it's an answer to what they have heard from you. Get fall cash discounts when you order your Golden Harvest seeds now at Jerry Bear and Sons, just off Highway 25, Durant.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday. All right.
Hey, welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning. Man, oh man, the dust is still billowing around us after the Trump win for the White House and the Senate flipping to GOP control. We've got the Fed meeting today. We've got a lot of ground that we still need to cover and a lot of things that we need to figure out. And here to help us do that, John Newton, head Executive Head of Terrain. John, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, Chip, and I've got my good friend Matt Clark from Terrain with me as well.
Yeah, Matt is the Senior Rural Economy Analyst there at Terrain. Matt, welcome to AgriTalk. It's good to talk with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Chip.
Okay, stick tight there, Matt. I'm going to get right back to you because I know the number one question that a lot of people have got out there right now, John, is how does the flip of the Senate to GOP control impact the process on the farm bill? What are your thoughts?
Well, I think all of my former colleagues for Senator Bozeman are happy because the number one thing, Chip, they get is to upgrade their offices. They get to move from the basement of the Russell building up to the sixth floor of the Dirksen building. So that's great for them. But the reality, Chip, is, you know, the House and Senate have been unable to pass a farm bill yet this year. You've seen GT was able to get something out of committee, but we haven't seen anything go over the floor. So, you know, they come back next week. They'll have their leadership votes on Tuesday. And I think the conversation will shift to can we get a bipartisan farm bill over the finish line in the lame duck? Farmers and ranchers need that certainty. We've seen prices below break even for a lot of crops. So with ranking member, with Bozeman moving into the chairman role, Klobuchar likely moving into the ranking member role, I think there's an opportunity to get a farm bill over the finish line yet with Senator Stabenow before we start the next Congress.
Help us understand a little bit about Klobuchar. To me, John, she strikes me as someone that is very much willing to sit at the table and negotiate. Is that the right read?
Well, I certainly think so. And you think about Minnesota agriculture in general. I mean, you had Chairman Peterson out of Minnesota. He was willing to sit at the table and negotiate. I don't know how many farm bills he was able to get over the finish line. So I think there's some willingness to work together. There's a lot of ag in Minnesota. Everyone knows that. So, you know, if they're unable to get a farm bill over the finish line, I'm very confident in Senator Bozeman and Senator Klobuchar being able to work together and get a five-year farm bill for rural America.
Okay, so the timing of the farm bill then, John, does this push it into 2025?
Not yet. You know, I still think there's an opportunity when they come back to get something over the finish line. You know, if you look at the WASDE, the ERS cost of production estimates, corn is 14% below break even, soybeans 8% below break even, wheat nearly 30% below break even, cotton over 40% below break even. Margins are tight, prices are below break even. So there is a sense of urgency that we need to get a farm bill over the finish line. We need to get a disaster package over the finish line to help folks that were dealing with these hurricanes, dealing with drought. So there's a lot on the plate in the ag space that needs to get done. And quite frankly, it'd be better to get it done now, because when we get into the next Congress, we've got tax issues on the horizon to deal with.
Okay. All right. So you went to the Farm Act on me there, John. It sounds like you with all those break evens that you just listed, you've established that the Farm Act and some financial aid out there is necessary. Can Congress get that done?
Well, I think, you know, when I was on the committee, we were able to get emergency assistance for the rice producers. And Senator Bozeman, like I said earlier, who's incoming chairman of the Ag Committee, has signaled a need for assistance. I don't know what that will look like. I don't know if it will take the shape of the Farm Act or if it'll look like something different. I think the important element of all of this is probably the need to get bipartisan support on what a package may look like for farmers and ranchers.
Okay. Okay, so what I'm hearing is $100 an acre on corn, $80 an acre on wheat, $50 an acre on soybeans in the Farm Act. Is that in line with what you are hearing?
I think that's in line with the numbers that I've seen floating around on the Hill here. But at the end of the day, Chip, you know, staff for the ag committees have to get in the room. They're going to weigh in. The appropriators are going to need to get in the room, and they're going to weigh in. It could look a lot different than what's been circulating. Obviously, cost is going to be a factor. You know, what's the appetite for spending? Thinking about the disaster package that needs to move too. And then the farm bill plays into this conversation. Can we get a farm bill done? Because that's important. That gives farmers and ranchers the 5 years of certainty that they need across rural America. So all of this is related, Chip.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. John, now I'm going to ask you to sit tight. Because I want to bring Matt into the conversation. Big day, Matt, Fed day, quarter point interest rate cut expected. Is that in line with your expectations?
It is, Chip. And I think your last speaker, Bob, just nailed it too. If you're the Fed, obviously there's some uncertainty. I will just say it lightly like that. Yeah. But you have to remain data dependent. And if you look at their data, they would be showing you that inflation is generally accelerating a little bit slower. It's getting closer to their 2% target. There's some cracks in the labor market. And they're looking to support it. And I think a quarter point cut seems very reasonable based on the data and the Fed's current view.
Man, oh, man, I tell you what, the jobs data that we got last Friday, that was the first time, Matt, that I really got on board with the idea that, okay, maybe we do need to see an interest rate cut. And then when you look at the revisions to the September and even the August jobs data, there's more than a crack in the labor market now, isn't there?
Yes. We need to remember, though, that last jobs report had two big caveats. We had two hurricanes in Florida on top of some labor strikes, whether it was Boeing or some other smaller ones as well. So I'm very hesitant to take that jobs report and say that's really reflective,
okay.
If you will.
Yep.
But yeah,
yep.
To your point, there's some accommodation needed. I would say, though, if I'm thinking big term for your farmers,
yeah,
the biggest thing that I'm following isn't necessarily what the Fed does right now, but what they're expected to do over the next, we'll say, 12 to 16 months.
Sure.
And if you wind back the clock maybe 60 days ago, the market expected the Fed to cut, you know, all the way down to even below 3% Fed funds rate at one point. Over the last, I would say 60-ish days, where we've started to get some of this better economic news, whether that was sales reports, retail sales, GDP, et cetera, the market's really slowed the amount of cuts that they expect the Fed to make. That doesn't mean that they won't be accommodative in the next several months or 6 months, so to speak, but maybe they don't get all the way down to 3%. Maybe it's more 3.5%. So for those of the farmers out there that have variable interest rates, maybe that's not quite as low as they were expecting just a little while ago. So I think that's really what I'm focusing on. Not necessarily this one cut, but really the path and the expected path over the next 12 months.
Yeah, Matt, the pattern here, and it is something that I'll admit it leaves me a little confused because, okay, I've been an observer of the interest rate markets, not an analyst of the interest rate markets, but I keep a close eye on them. And I've been doing it for 35 years, and I don't remember a time when there's been a divergence between what the Fed is doing and what is happening in the real markets with Treasury yields. I still struggle to explain that.
Sure. And there again, you've got markets that act a little bit differently. So your short-term rates vary dependent on the Fed. Like a three-month treasury, for example, or your variable interest rates for our farmers. Then you've got the longer-term treasuries, which are reacting to a renewed sentiment that, hey, economically, things are really okay. And maybe the bad vibes that we had 4 or 5 months ago were overstated, but long-term growth still looks okay.
Yeah.
We've still got a bit of a spending problem. I'll say that one lightly. We still got a bit of a spending problem at a national level, so we need to price in a little bogey there for maybe some funding issues long term.
Yeah.
Okay. As a result, you've seen the 10-year treasury. It's probably gone up about 70 to 80 basis points since the Fed cut rates in September.
Yeah.
So reacting a little bit differently. And so you've got a steep yield curve, if you will. back to, or a steepening yield curve, maybe somewhat back to where we've been in the past pre-pandemic.
Right. Okay. All right. John, I'm going to come back to you real quick here. I've only got about 40 seconds left. What's more important in your thoughts, Farm Bill or clarity on 45Z?
Oh, now you hit me with a tough one. I thought we were only doing easy questions, Chip. I think both are very important, right? I mean, 45Z gives that clarity for farmers out there seeking to grow a product for the sustainable aviation fuel market. You know, all our friends out in Farm Credit Service of America country are looking at that. But the Farm Bill is also very important. That's a five-year contract with farmers, Chip. We need to get that done.
You guys are the best. Good stuff, you guys. John, thank you for answering the phone, buddy. Thank you.
Anytime.
You bet. Matt, good to talk with you. I look forward to doing that again. John Newton, Matt Clark from Terrain.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE. So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
Nick Hammett is a sales rep for Neogen. He joins us right now. Nick, Neogen has a genomics product to help commercial beef producers. Tell us about that.
Yeah, our flagship product's called Igenity Beef. What it does is provide commercial producers the opportunity to send in a genomic sample, usually an ear punch, and we'll run the DNA on that animal and we'll get that commercial producer back Igenity scores on 17 different traits. So all their maternal traits, cavities, growth traits, carcass traits, they get a whole portfolio of information that they can use similar to EPDs, but not quite going through the entire EPD process like you would with a breed association.
Yeah, this is fantastic. And Neogen also offers a genomic test for feeder cattle. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. Feed yards and even commercial producers are using that feeder test to decide potentially which calves they may want to retain ownership on, or also to provide potential buyers with the value of those calves. And then once they get to the feed yard, that feed yard could use that information to sort those calves into uniform outcome groups so that by pen they can more optimally hit their days on feed and make feeding cattle more profitable for everybody involved.
Very cool. You mentioned Igenity Branded. What is it?
So Igenity Branded uses either Igenity Beef or Igenity Feeder to value those cattle based on their terminal index. So obviously buyers are willing to pay a little more money for calves that are genetically superior. Igenity Branded's just a way of proving the value of those calves. So those buyers want to pay you more money for the better cattle. So no longer are you just saying, hey, my cattle are better than average, please pay me more money. It actually is a genomic test that proves it.
Very cool. Where can listeners get more information?
Neogen.com. Just go to our website, and we've got all kinds of information that can guide you to the right places and get more information on those products.
Thank you, Nick. Nick Hammett, sales rep for Neogen.
Hi, I'm Paul Niefer, a CPA and author of the Farm CPA blog and column for Top Producer. Join me every week on the Top Producer podcast for conversations about the top trends in farm management, tax issues, succession planning, policy implications, and more. Each week, I visit with business-minded farmers and ag experts for lively and in-depth conversations. Subscribe to the Top Producer podcast, available on your preferred podcast platform, and listen to a new episode every Tuesday.
Another great harvest, thanks to Pioneer brand corn.
Just a few questions.
Who are you?
Kim Kernel, Ag Sports News. I've been chasing your combine for a while. How does it feel getting 10 more bushels per acre over last season?
It feels great. Couldn't have done it without Pioneer. It's America's number one corn brand.
And there you have it, folks. Live from the field.
Who are you talking to?
Pioneer. Your best year starts here. Learn more at pioneer.com/best yet.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Neogen. Prioritizing herd health and embracing genomic testing are key steps toward maximizing your operation's success. Stay ahead of the curve, invest in your herd's health, and uncover their full potential. Learn more at neogen.com. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm your pal, Davis Michelson. Chip Flory here as well. How you doing, buddy? You're gonna
good.
At the start
good.
Of the show.
You see why I was trying to stay calm and conserve energy at the start of the show?
I feel like you've done a really great job. You know?
Well, thank you.
We almost skewed into the rhubarb with that whole outbreak thing, but we won't reopen that.
No.
While we've got a quick second here, I wanted to bring up a couple of news stories that we didn't get to in the first segment here. Let's begin here. Through the first 10 months of this year, China imported 89.94 million metric tons of soybeans. That's up 11.2% from the same period last year, just 10.37 million metric tons shy of the record in 2020. Chinese buyers expected to rush to import beans before Donald Trump takes office in January. Chip, is that a fair statement, you think?
Okay. If China really needed the beans and needed the beans in a big way, I mean, we keep talking about everything that they are doing to stimulate economic activity in China.
Yeah.
And part of that is import of raw commodities, put the people to work, generate wages, and generate
manufacturing
product.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't care if we're talking about soybeans or cotton, whatever the case might be, the raw commodities, I would assume, are needed in China. Now, if they've got a problem, though, then I would assume that the demand would back off. So there's lots of questions that we need to answer there. But right now I want to bring in Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrge. Jordan, hey, man, how you doing?
Joe, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hey, this is Chip, Jordan.
Chip, Joe. Yeah. Sorry, guys. I've had technical difficulties all morning. I had a telehealth call with my phone this morning and had the same exact issue, and I should have figured that out before I tried to call in. I'm sorry, guys. Hey. I apologize.
No worries. Okay, let's jump right to it. What are your thoughts of the energy markets under a Trump administration?
So that's a great question. And I think the best way to start this off is just kind of go back and just look at what happened under the last three administrations. And I'm going to specifically talk a little bit about ethanol and crush margins here. So under the Obama administration, if you look at it, the average crush margin for an ethanol plant, just the board crush, we're taking 2.8 bushels per gallon. We're not taking into effect any of the stuff for corn oil. We're not taking into any of the other stuff. Just a simple board crush margin, just to compare apples to apples. Under Obama, it was at 48 cents. Under Trump, it was at negative 2 cents. I did remove 2020 because of COVID. It gets much worse, unfortunately, under that. And then under the Biden administration, it was 42 cents. So if you just go back and look at the past, you could draw the conclusion that Trump was not friendly for ethanol. I'm not making that just a clear line in the sand. It's just those are the numbers. Specifically, what led to that under Trump? It was putting what I like to call a fox in the hen house. Carl Icahn basically undercut the RFS. Trump put him in charge, and him and Wheeler and Scott Pruitt under the EPA handed out small refinery exemptions, a ton of them. And that slashed RIN prices, renewable identification numbers, down to the single digits, the lowest they'd basically been since the inception of the renewable fuel standard. What has changed since then? And this is, I think, where there's good news. If you listen to what I just said, you think I'm really pessimistic or really anti-Trump, and that's not just the case. But what has changed? The biggest change that I think we can look at is the involvement in big oil in the renewable space. That has changed dramatically since 2016. Those same people, whether it's P66, Valero, Marathon, whomever, those same people benefited from those small refinery exemptions under the previous Trump administration. Under the new Trump administration, all of those said players have renewable diesel, and they need those tax credits in order to make these very expensive investments in renewable diesel profitable. So I think with the consolidation and the new entry, you'll see a change there. And in fact, RIN prices are up since Trump has won. And it's kind of counterintuitive to what a lot of people have been thinking. So I've been poring over the numbers literally over the past day and a half, and I'm kind of coming up with that conclusion. Don't look at the old numbers. Look at what's changed. And I think that there is a good path under consolidation with big oil now in the space that things aren't going to get too sloppy.
That is unbelievable, Jordan. Unbelievable analysis. So when I was talking with the folks at RFA and the folks at Growth Energy leading up to the election, they both felt that there was a path for renewable product under a Trump administration. You're telling me it's because of where big oil is already invested. That's why there's a path for renewables under a Trump administration, right?
That's right. That's right. Again, you know, if let's say he put Icahn back in charge, and I don't think he will or whatever, but Icahn could not muster it up. Again, they would be going against their own interests. And the big oil companies have consolidated. They've got a lot of lobbying power. Not to say that ethanol does not. You know, the folks at Growth and everything like that, they do a fantastic job. But again, big oil is big oil. They've been around for 100 years. You know, renewables is kind of a new kid on the block. So I would look at that. And then I've kind of come up with a little bit of a policy table, if you will, and look at like RFS volumes. 15 billion is the number conventional corn ethanol. I really don't know if they'll touch that. I don't understand why they would. I think that the one thing I would keep a close eye on is CO2 sequestration. That one might get modified, but there's a lot up in the air right now, and it's just too hard to draw any conclusions. But if there's one thing that Trump could reduce, I would think it's that. I think they probably leave most of it the rest alone.
Jordan, let's stay in touch on this, man. I need more of this. I need a lot more of this. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry again, I was delayed. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
No worries, man. Jordan Fife, president of trading at BioUrja. Holy smokes. That was top level analysis right there on what we should be thinking about in the biofuels markets. Wow. Whew. What a show. What a show. What a show. What a show. Thank you to everyone for coming on. Thank you for listening. We're going back to the top shelf for analysis this afternoon. Scott Barlick, KKV Trading. We're talking cattle here on AgriTalk.
What's a corn farmer's favorite dog?
A husky.
Some things shouldn't be flat. But with GHX, you can maximize your acres with one flat price. While other brands sell by the bag, we sell seed by the acre to maximize your yield and profit potential. Our custom seed recommendations combine extensive product characterization and agronomic expertise to get the right product, population, and placement, all for one flat price per acre. Learn how at ghxseed.com/connect.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly, Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 90%.